Good morning, church.
Morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you. And this particular meeting is a great anniversary. This is the 50th year in which Gayling started pursuing me. To be fair, I didn't catch on until the next year. And by that time, she wasn't interested, so I pursued her. And the following year, we got married. So this was the beginning, and we've always had Vandalia as a special spot in our heart. When I was doing my study for the lesson this morning, I found this quote, and I loved the quote. So as I went through, man, I was looking for a place to slide this in. I got all the way through, and there was no place to slide it in. But I said, hey, I'm an adult. I can put it wherever I want it. So this is for free. I just love the quote. Mark Twain, who you may know was not a believer, had not much use for any kind of religion generally. But he did say this, and I found it very interesting. Most people are bothered by those passages in the Bible which they cannot understand. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I like that, but that's not the period. But as for me, I always notice that the passages in the Scripture which trouble me the most are those which I do understand. Isn't it amazing? We know the Word. It's the application. It's understanding the temptation that's so critical in our lives. Well, listen to these words, because I'm going to ask you a couple questions about them here in just a minute. Tupperware, essential oils, Pampered Chef, Scentsy, home interiors, and for the males in the audience, Roby, Makita, Rigid, Mechanics, or Craftsman. How many have used any of those kinds of products or been involved in them in any way? Well, that's pretty big. What do all those have in common? Almost all of them have something in common.
Money.
Money, that's true. It's not what I'm going to talk about, but it's true. What else? They all have a patent of some kind, okay. Home sales, a lot of them are, but not all of them.
Tools.
They are tools, some of them. Brands and their good reputation. They all have starter kits. When I got ready to buy my next set of tools, I happen to use Roby. I like Roby. And Roby comes with a starter kit. So I got my starter kit and my two drills and my two batteries and my charger. And as I've used the product, I've enjoyed it, and I've bought a couple of other pieces to go with it, because you add to your starter kit. Well, the Roby is a pretty heavy drill, and there was an occasion where I needed a lighter duty one. So I began looking around, and there was a sale on Makita. But it was cheaper to buy a starter kit, even though I didn't need both pieces, than to buy just the one piece. So now I have two Makitas as well, because I bought a starter kit. The interesting thing about starter kits is that it doesn't make any difference about your experience with other products. I had my Roby. Makita didn't care. If you buy Tupperware, and we have been involved in Tupperware, you get a starter kit. But if you go and sell Pampered Chef, they don't care if you have a starter kit from Tupperware. Yeah. They want you to get the starter kit from them. And some people use starter kits as the whole product. They're happy with it. They stay with it. They don't need any more. Other people look at, get the starter kit and realize right away, this is something I really want to invest my time in. And they run with that product. Well, the thing is, once we have a starter kit in something, we never really lose the value of that kit that we had in the beginning. There is something about that. I still have my two drills and one of my original batteries because I wore one of them out from that starter kit. That's important. Well, in the New Testament, there are three passages that have kind of a discussion about starter kits from what we're going to look at this morning. And so as I was looking at these passages, I had to decide what I wanted to talk about. The first one was found in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And there we talked about the milk of the word. And the milk. So in the third chapter, the second verse, Paul is talking there, and he's pretty disgusted with the people. And having the milk of the word is not really something that he was enthused about. They needed something different than that, he thought. But there they were stuck. Well, I'm a pretty positive person. I don't like to deal with the negative a lot. So put that one on the side and see what else I got. So I went next to Hebrews, the fifth chapter, which is actually the place I thought I would be speaking from this morning. In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, we have essentially the same kind of thing. The writer is pretty upset with the folks, starting in verse 12, that you need milk, not solid food. If you're on milk, you're inexperienced. That doesn't sound like an encouragement. So put that one over the side. There's still three, remember I said? So now let's turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. And that's where we're going to spend our day, our morning here, on 1 Peter, the second chapter. We're going to look at the first three verses with this idea of a starter kit and how this impacts our lives and how we should consider it. I'm going to read to you four different translations just so you hear some different verbiage. So let me encourage you to put your finger in 1 Peter and close your Bible and just listen. Because if you try to follow, you'll probably get lost and confused. So just for the moment, listen. From the King James, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." From the New Living Translation, "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit and hypocrisy and jealousy and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment, now that you have tasted the Lord's kindness." From God's Word, "So get rid of every kind of evil, every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Desire God's pure Word, as newborn babies desire milk. Then you will grow in your salvation. Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good." And finally, from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which I'll be using this morning, "So rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow by it for your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good." Now we're going to focus on 4 points this morning from these three verses. One, laying the foundation. Number two, developing our craving for spiritual milk. Three, growing up spiritually. And four, cultivating a taste for the Lord. So let's begin with the idea of laying the foundation. Did you notice that Peter's not pulling any punches here? He begins that chapter right in your face. He says, I want you to get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. So, why does he start there? Well, let's back up. Remember, there weren't chapter divisions, so there must have been a continuity coming in here. Let's back up into the first chapter and start with verse 21 and look at 21 through 23. Well, actually 20. He's speaking about Christ, was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of times for you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourself for sincere love of brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Peter is talking to Christians. And he's saying, you have that foundation. There is something critical that you need to have. And he begins by saying, and you need to get rid of certain things. That's where you need to start. And the idea of get rid of is to put off, or literally to take the clothes off. In other words, Peter is telling us that as we go through our Christian life, we have a responsibility for ourselves. We don't have a butler coming in and taking our coat off for us. It's our job to take those clothes off, to get rid of them. Malice means doing evil despite the good that has been received. Malice can often be hidden by good actions. Deceit, deliberately tricking or misleading by lying. Hypocrisy, saying one thing, doing another. It often masks the idea of having a selfish desire or motive behind it. Envy, desiring something possessed by someone else. It makes us unable to be thankful for the good someone else has. Slander, destroying another's good reputation by lies, gossip, rumor spreading. Malice is often connected with slander. Peter's call to believers is that in our new life in Christ, it should result in a general mutual love, not only for God, for our salvation, but a love for one another. And anything that gets in the way of that needs to be gone, whatever it is. Whatever our attitudes and our structures and the things that we have been bought, had we had bought into before, we have to get rid of them. We don't really have a choice if we're going to express the kind of love that we are supposed to express. The Hebrew writer would say that we should lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us in the 12th chapter and the first verse. So, if that's milk, that's pretty thick. It's not going down easy. But that's where he starts. So, when do we start those kind of things? Do we wait till our fifth anniversary of our baptism? And we say, okay, now it's time to change coats. Do we wait till our 10th anniversary of our baptism? And we say, okay, now it's time to change coats. No. This is something that we do at the beginning, at the very beginning. This is a principle that is about our starter kit. This is where we start. It's not easy. Anything that gets in the way from the milk of the word to nourish us needs to be gotten rid of. So how do we do that? How do we move on? How do we understand that? Well, number two, we need to develop our craving for spiritual milk. The intensity that we see in verse 1, get rid of, I mean, it is intense. Is the same kind of intensity that we find in verse 2. Crave. Desire. They're bookends. That intensity that you had to get rid of your old habits is the same intensity you've got to be in the Word, to understand what's going on. You know, sometimes we have the sense that we kind of outgrow milk. But listen carefully to what Peter is saying here. Listen. Peter doesn't say only babies need milk. He says that we, wherever we are in our walk, need to have a desire, a craving for milk like a baby. Peter doesn't say if you're newborn babies. He doesn't say when you're a newborn baby, while you're a newborn baby, but rather as newborn babies. Well, how long can you behave? How long can you have a desire as a newborn baby? Well, all your life. You can go with it. Quite the challenge Peter is giving us here in our lives to consider and be aware of how we need to live and move. So how does that work? Well, if you're a parent or if you've been a parent, you know that newborn babies crave milk. They come in with this built-in craving. In the middle of the night, they want milk. When you're studying, they want milk. Every few hours, it seems, they want milk. And if you're a little late producing the milk, there is an insistence that comes throughout the household that says, I want milk. You can't miss it. That's the craving that Peter is talking about. There is this need for us to have a craving. We don't teach babies to crave milk, or we don't teach them to like it. It begins with them. And as Christians, when we are baptized, there should be this sense of craving within our lives that follows us all the way through to when they put us in the ground. As newborn babes, you should crave the milk of the Word. As we grow, we should have an insatiable craving for the Word in our lives. So how do we do that? Well, third point, we need to grow up spiritually. If we look at verse 2, there is a connection then between milk, growth, and the Word. You just can't get away from it. There is this pattern that's there. They're connected with a lifetime of service. It is interesting that the phrase pure spiritual milk that is there is not describing the weakness of the food. It's describing the quality. And why do we say that? Well, the word that's used there could be literally translated logical milk. It's only used 2 times in the New Testament. This word, one time here, and the other time in Romans 12 and 1, which says what?
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Your reasonable service. Your worship. That's the other time the word is used. So when Peter's talking about the milk of the Word, he's talking about what you serve, how you serve God, how you serve man, how you serve yourself in living. That's the word that he's using there. They bring this together in this sense. So how do we move on to maturity? Well, very quickly, there's not a pat answer, because we each come from different backgrounds. Our parents raised us different ways. We have different economic statuses. We have different education statuses. Some of us Some of you maybe have come to the Lord very late in life. Some may not have had any experience in the Word at all. And some of us were raised up in the Word, and it's just been what we've known. We've known nothing else our entire life except the Word. We have a variety of experiences, so there's no one clear answer. So that's why it's so critical for each of us to understand that we're responsible for our desire for the milk of the Word, to understand what it is that is our starting kit. If you weren't raised in a family, in a religious family, or a family that knew it, that valued the Bible at all, you may simply need to start with the children's Bible and read the stories so that you have an idea of what's going on. Because it's a big book and it's got a lot of them in there. And some of them don't make any sense if you don't have a background, if you don't have the history. We don't know. And so you may just need to read the little stories and enjoy that. Maybe you have an idea of what's going on, and it's time, but you don't know their connections. So maybe you need to begin looking at how is the story of Jesus interwoven through this book, because you can't pick a book out with finding something out about Jesus. So maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you're a person that you're on fire and you're ready to go, but you need direction. So you need someone one-on-one with you to hold you accountable. Someone to push your buttons, to make you go, to help you dig. That may be your calling. Or maybe you're in the spot that you're ready to, I need to move beyond this starter class. I've grown up in this. It's time for me to do something else. I need to teach a class. Whether we're talking about in the building, or whether we're talking about in a home or somewhere else, I need to invest myself into my learning. That's how I grow spiritually. So as we think about that idea, consider then an old familiar passage that we've used in a variety of ways, but maybe never thought about it in this way. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And from the God's Word translation, every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so they are completely prepared to do good things. The Word, the milk of the Word, is what it needs to be for you. And that's what you need to discover. And so finally, the fourth thing, we need to cultivate a taste of the Lord. Peter continued this analogy about milk from the second verse, and he likened their present knowledge about Christ as to tasting. They've taken an example, they know what it's like, move forward. And it is a, Peter pulls from the psalm to share that with them. So, Psalm 34 is where this comes from. And let me read part of this psalm, starting with the 8th verse. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. You who are holy ones, fear Yahweh, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who delights in life, loving a long life to enjoy what is good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it." That's how we cultivate a taste for the Lord. We seek peace and pursue it. So as I close, another illustration that I found that I enjoyed. Ted Williams. He was a baseball player that I grew up knowing about. He died in 2002, but he was arguably probably the best hitter baseball had ever known. In fact, he hit 400 for the whole season. He was the last man to hit over 400 during the season since 1941. So that record has been in place a long time. He was 23 when he set that record. It had like a 408 average by the end of the season. Amazing. His on-base percentage was almost 50%. So if there was a man on base, it was almost a 50-50 shot that that man was going to get on base again. He was a terror. But one of the things that made him so unique was his sensitivity to the bats he used. He would take a postal scale before games and weigh his bat to make sure they hadn't changed because of the humidity of the field. That seems a little strange. And it seemed a little strange during his time. People would often challenge him to find the one bat out of four or six that was a half an ounce heavier. And you think about this. That's a letter. A 1 or 2 page letter, half an ounce heavier, and he could go through those bats and pick out the heavier one almost every time. Pretty impressive. One time he sent a whole array of bats back to the manufacturer at Louisville, the Louisville Slugger. And he said, these bats, there's something wrong with the handle. And when they began inspecting it, sure enough, those handles were off 5/1000ths of an inch. Now, why talk about him? Because he knew his craft. He knew his starter package. It was a bat. And that's what he had to deal with. And that's the only thing he could use to get on base. We are the same way. We have our basics. We need to be craftsmen with the Word. It needs to be such in our lives that we know what it is. We've explored ideas about the starter kit of the pure spiritual milk of the Word. That as babies, we should never lose that craving or desire for the Word. We should be responsible for finding our way through that. And we need to seek help wherever it is. And so, let me share two last scriptures. Job said in 23 and 12, and this is Job speaking, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily food. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than daily food. And then Jeremiah 15, in that chapter, Jeremiah is complaining about how unfair everything is, and he's just sure God's not on the job. But in verse 16, he says, your words were found, and I devoured them. Your words are my joy and my heart delight, because I am called by your name. May you find joy and delight with God's spiritual milk as you work with your starter kit.